The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Good morning, everyone. Have you been getting blessed in this meeting? You guys are looking very wonderful this morning. Amen. You know, sometimes I always feel that ladies, they overdo. But after they overdo, it looks good. So it's good to overdo. Praise God. Because the men are having their meetings too this week. And I know they did not buy clothes. They didn't spend money. But the average lady is well. Well, you guys look really good. So it's good to be here. It's a privilege I'm here in your midst. Amen. And I'm a guy. And I'm talking to you in a ladies' meeting. And I'm going to get to this point. This is where I'm heading down somewhere in my teaching this morning. Because ministry is not gender specific, not gender sensitive. There is no law that says that when there is a women conference, only the women should talk. Or when there is a men conference, only the men should be preaching. As a matter of fact, later this evening, in our men's session we're going to have this evening, a lady will be talking to the ladies, to the guys. You get the point? And it's not mom. One of the pastor ladies will be talking to the guys. You know why? Because it's not about gender. Callings are callings. Amen. It's just there. So we'll get to that this morning. Is that okay? So let's just say a word of prayer. Father, we thank you and we open our hearts to you this morning for clarity, for revelation, for understanding. Change us by the instrument of your word that will not remain the same. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
I said in Jesus' name we pray.
They
say you guys are feeling cold. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
That's so beautiful. Is that not great? It's good to know, amen, that I'm not feeling hot. You know the weather is hot outside. If you go outside, it's very hot outside. But they are in here and it's cool. So God is faithful. Amen. So have you said something nice to someone this morning? So leave your seat. Talk to somebody you've not met before or you've not spoken to in a long time. Someone else forgot that. Just something nice to the person. Get to know the person. What's your name, sister? So say something beautiful to someone across all the centers. Make sure. If you're following online, you could get to know who those people are following with you. Find out who they are. And say something good to them. Amen. If you're done, you can have your seat. Amen. So have your seat. Good morning. So I titled this, The Woman from God's Lens. We're going to look at the woman with the lens of God. How does God see women? How does God see women? The society says a whole lot of things about women. Women say a lot of things about themselves. There are a lot of beliefs out there. But what is God's standpoint? And you see, it's important to find out what God's perspective of the woman is. And what is why it is very important is because God created the woman. As everything that anyone has to say about the woman will not be correct except what God thinks or says of the woman. Right? And you notice, just like any product, the person that can clearly describe the nature and the purpose of a product is actually the producer of that product, the maker of that product. Not even the product itself. Not even the product. That's why when you buy a new product, there is a manual. right? That manual they insert there is what the producer thinks of this product. What he thinks of the nature of this product and what he thinks about the purpose and functionality of the product. And so what you think of the product is not as important as what the producer thinks of it. And that's actually how I think women should see themselves. You know, the first thing is that there are many things people say about women, but the problem is even women believe those things about themselves. And it's not going to help you. One of the things that will help you in life is to begin to have the right perspective of yourself. And the right perspective of yourself is not about saying, think big, see yourself as great. I mean, have God's perspective of you. How does God see you? Then you begin to see yourself that same way. You begin to see yourself with God's lens. With God's lens. Hallelujah. You know, look at this room now. If you wear a blue lens, this entire room will become blue. If you wear a red lens, it becomes red. If you wear a black lens, everywhere gets dark. So it's really not important. What determines how you see this room is about the glasses you're putting on. So if you wear a colored lens, it changes, right, everything about this room. And that's why it's important that there's a way you look at yourself. When you look at the mirror, when you look at other women around you, how do you see them? Some women see themselves as victims. I get the point. And I think that has got to change very soon. I know women have been victimized over the years, but I would like to say a woman should not see herself as a victim, as an object that should be pitied. I don't think so. I get the point. I say that I know women have passed through a lot, but you shouldn't be seeing yourself as an object that should be pitied. Someone that should be, so every time there are this NGO for women, that NGO for women, which is not bad, but then it affects how, let it not affect how you see yourself. You're not an object of pity. God's word doesn't talk about you like that. I feel what I'm saying. You're not an object of pity. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to show you in the Bible though. In fact, in our story this morning, you'll find out that many things people believe about women actually came from this earth and it did not come from the Bible. Just like when you talk about racism. Right? There is no racism in the Bible. There's nothing like that. There is nothing like that. As a matter of fact, one of the first prophets you find written in the Bible, one of the major prophets in the Bible, his name was Moses, married a black woman. Are you aware? Married an Ethiopian woman. As far back as the Old Testament. So racism is a creation of man. And that's the same thing about all these women. It's a creation of man. I feel what I'm saying. It's not in the Bible. And I'm going to show you, like I said. It's not in the Bible at all. You know, okay, well, I'm going to touch that very shortly. I'm getting there. It's not God's creation. God did not say women are this or that. Many things, I will say this one, you will be surprised that these things are not found anywhere in the Bible. Do you know there's nowhere in the Bible where the Bible said women cannot go to war? There's no ways in the Bible. Now, even though in the Bible you find that women didn't go to war, but there's no singular verse where the Bible said women cannot go to war. I get the point. Yes. I'm not saying women should go to war, but I'm just trying to show you in the Bible there's nothing like that. So most things you believe about yourself and you believe about women is actually a creation of man. And when I mean man, I'm talking about the male gender, even the women themselves. Because let me tell you, it's not about how men see you, it's about how you even see yourself at the end of the day. And do you know why? It's not about how men see you, because I've taught this many times. People see you the way you see yourself. Now people see you the way you see yourself. Let me tell you, if you want people's perception of you to change, let your perception of yourself change. Over time, they will readjust. I get to the point. I got born again, for instance. They said I was going to be a pastor. I began to see myself like a pastor, as a minister, someone that had a calling. At first, people didn't see me that way because they felt like, it's not this boy that we all know. We played ball together. But I started living like that, started dressing like that, started talking like that. Eventually, people came around and began to say, I don't want a pastor. At first, I didn't see it before they began to see it. And that's how it is. So I think it's not about fighting how men see women. It's about fighting, discussing how women see themselves. Are you following me? So we're going to look at the woman from God's lens. Genesis 1, let's start from there, verse 27. Genesis 1 and verse 27. So God created man in his own image. Now this is where the first problem comes from. Bible study, first problem. God created man in his own image. What many people read into this verse is God created the male gender in his own image. But that's not correct. Amen. God created man. The man there is not talking about man as I am. Give me like New Living Translation so I can get clearer. So God created human beings. He didn't create any gender. Genesis 1 was not talking about the creation of any gender. God just created man. Mankind. He created a race. Are you following me? If I take it a bit further, I can even show you that at this point, there was even no man in existence. The recreation of Adam came in chapter 2. This chapter 1 was God declaring his intention, what he wanted to do. Verse 26 said, let us make man in our own image. Verse 27, he made mankind. So he made, he prepared, he decided that mankind was going to be his image. So he made him, and Bible said, look at this, verse 27. God created human beings in his own image. What did he say next? In the image of God, he created them male. So in Genesis 1, there was the creation of male and female already. Why? Because there was no physical creation at the time. It was God's intention being declared. He was declaring that he wanted male and female to be in his image. I'm trying to say that women, we are not an afterthought. God didn't finish creating man and then looked at the world and said, what else can we do? Let's make woman. That's not correct. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that after God created man on the sixth day, God rested. So did he wake up from his rest later to now come and make woman? These are just things we've not understood clearly in God's word, which I'm going to just explain to you today. Are you following what I'm saying? So he created human beings in the image of God. He created male and female. Male and female from Genesis 1. Then by the time we read verse 28, you now begin to see he gave them dominion. God bless them. Be fruitful. Multiply. So who was he talking to? The man or the woman? The both. Because verse 27 already told you that male and female already made them. Then in chapter 2, you see a clarification on the creation story. It tells you that God made man. That's now the male gender, Adam. And then out of the man, he made woman. So if there was man and woman at that time, where was the woman? It was in the man. I get the point. So why did God create woman and create, why didn't he make one of them immediately? There are just process to these things. If you read the book of Genesis, you will see it a lot. For instance, God created, I'll tell you two reasons why that happened. God created earth, and then he spoke to the earth brought forth trees. I get the point. Now, listen to why man, woman was made from man. It's not because man or women are inferior. Listen. Woman being made from man, God was using that thing to tell the salvation story. I've taught you this many times. I'm going to teach it again today. God was using that particular drama that I'm going to show you in the Bible to tell the salvation story. So there was a man called Adam. And then one day, a deep sleep came upon him. And while he slept, the Lord God opened his part, a part of his body, and then a woman came out from there. Why is all those drama? Why didn't God just create both of them immediately? He was telling a story. If you now read Ephesians chapter 5, because notice when the woman came from the man, what did the man say? The man said, this is now bone of my bones. Do you know Bible at all? Flesh of my flesh. And I say, she shall be called woman. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30, Paul began to tell that same story. And Paul said, watch this. Paul said, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Verse 31. He said, for this cause shall a man live. So who made this statement? Where was this statement made initially? In Genesis 2. After the woman came. Adam said, for this cause shall a man, it was not even Adam, Moses said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to the wife, and they shall become two. So Paul quotes, he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Verse 32. He now said, this is a great mystery. But I'm actually speaking concerning Christ and the church. So the drama in Genesis 1, where Genesis 2, where Eve came from Adam, was actually illustrating Christ and the church. How that a man called Christ will fall into a deep sleep, that is death on the cross. And from that his sleep on the cross, the church will be birthed. So we came from Christ's death. We are the product of his death. The same way the woman was the product of Adam's sleep. Are you getting the point? So that drama was not to claim inferiority. When God was creating, he already made the human race in Genesis 1 in his image and likeness. So Genesis 2 had to play out the way it played out because God was telling a bigger story. Are you following me? And so the idea that women are inferior to men has never been the standpoint of the Bible. Never. And I'm not here to promote feminism or what have you. I don't believe in feminism. Because you see, feminism too is actually a product of low self-esteem. It's still because you believe something is wrong with you, so you're not fighting. Just like when they were doing Black Lives Matter. I didn't agree with the movement. I didn't agree with the movement. Because it means you're trying to say there's something wrong with us blacks. So we are now fighting to say that something. I get to the point. God didn't make black. God didn't make white. God made human beings. So I'm not black. He said, what are you? Human being. Yes. As your pastor so many years ago said, God spoke to him about doing something. And he told God, I've never seen a black man do that. You're telling me you take me around the whole world. And I'm black. God asked him, are you black? And he said yes. And he said, God told him, I never knew. I didn't know you were black. Because God didn't make blacks. He didn't make whites. The same way, God did not make man. He did not make woman. He made human beings. So when people fight feminism for defending, it's because they already have accepted a position. I feel what I'm talking about. So they are now trying to fight. When God created, he created everybody. Male and female from day one. Let me show you. Genesis 5. Genesis 5. But what I explained to you is clear enough, right? Yes. So the idea of Genesis 2, where woman came from man, was not talking about it. Right? It was telling a story. I've told you last year, the whole Bible had an aim. Do you remember that? The aim of the whole Bible was to reveal salvation in Christ. Actually, that's why Paul told Timothy that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So when you know the holy scriptures, it makes you wise unto salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. So the holy scriptures he was telling Timothy that he knew was not Matthew to Revelation, it was Genesis to Malachi. Because at the time of Paul's writing, there was no book of Matthew, there was no book of Mark, there was no book of Timothy. So he was telling Timothy, you've read Genesis to Malachi, and it made you wise unto salvation in Christ. In other words, if you study the Bible how it should be studied, you will know salvation in Christ. And because in the stories of the Old Testament, the story of salvation is scattered all over the place. This is just one of the examples. Are you following me? So God was not saying, I'm going to make another being smaller than you. So woman was not an afterthought in the mind of God. It was part of God's original idea. So look at Genesis 5 verse 1. So you see the Bible trying to run a summary of the creation. He said, this is the book of the generations of... Come on, talk to me. This is the book of Adam. Adam here... Oh. Adam here is not talking about a person. And you don't have to believe me. I'll show you shortly. This is the book of Genesis of Adam.
In the day God created man,
that is mankind, and you see shortly, in the likeness of God made he him. Verse 2. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name. So Adam was not the name of the man. It was their name. It means mankind. Are you sure I'm showing you?
So what did God call them when he made them? He called them Adam. We refer to the first man as Adam because we want to identify. And so the second man is Eve.
But what God called man, woman and woman when he made them, he called them Adam. Adam just means man, mankind.
So a woman was not God's, it's not something that God came up with. After he finished creating, he said, what do we do now? This man is just very lonely. Just very lonely.
So, I know I'm done with creation, but let's run something else. Quack, quack, quack. Angels, come. What do you guys think we should do next? I want to say, can we make something that looks fine? You know, that's not how it happened. From day one, he already planned that there will be two gender. That was why when Christ now came, now, let me make this statement. That's why the purpose of God for women is his purpose for all mankind. God has no special purpose for men and special for women. That's why I'll say some things I've said to you today. For instance, I've heard people say things in attempts to motivate women. They say when men pray, it's powerful. But when women pray, that's nothing like that. When women pray, heaven shakes. Let me tell you. Leave all those drama. It's not true. You are still trying to say that there is something different. Galatians 3 verse 8. Let's echo it together. Sorry, 3 verse 28 rather. 3:28. Let's echo it together once it comes on the screen. Are you ready? You have your Bible? Let's go together. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. This verse messes up everything about race and gender. Amen. No Jew, nor Greek. That means in God's sight, he doesn't know this one is white and that one is black. He doesn't know that. He doesn't know that these people are slaves. Well, the problem is when Paul was writing this, slave trade was in full force. And Paul was telling them that it's not. In other words, he was telling the masters who are born again, who are slaves under them, that there is no difference between you and that your slave. Once the person is now in Christ Jesus. Because in Christ Jesus, right, God brought man back to his original plan. And the original plan is that there will be no discrimination between tribes, between gender. So, in Christ, there is no male nor female. So, I say it again. God's purpose for the woman is not different from his purpose for men. God has no special purpose for women. God has purpose for mankind. Amen. Now, in functionality, in design, the man differs from the woman. And there's a reason for that. The reason for that is simple. I'll get to that very shortly. It's because there are responsibilities. Because the world has to run. So there are things that a man has to do that a woman has to do. For instance, childbearing. And I can tell you, childbearing is one of the major reasons why the woman was made different from the man. The woman had to have boobs, have to have a womb, and all of that. I get to the point. For childbearing. Not to make her inferior or anything. And that's why to start with, you must change how you see yourself as a woman. You must. Because that's where you begin to achieve what God wants you to achieve. So what does God think of women? We're already seeing that he thinks the same way of men and of women. For instance, we're going to look at some of them today. For instance, God thinks that a woman can stand in any office, any secular office. God thinks that a woman can be a soldier.
So God thinks that a woman can be a politician. How do you know that? Check your Bible. Scattered all over the place. A key character we're going to study today is the woman Deborah. Deborah was a judge in Israel. Now, you don't know what that means. If you read the book of, you know there's a book in the Bible called the Book of Judges. After Joshua died, because Moses led Israel and stopped halfway, Joshua led Israel and brought them to the promised land. After Joshua died, they didn't have kings. But they had judges that served as kings. So they were not called kings, but their work was kingly. Right? So if you read the book of Judges, you see people like Othniel, Ehud, Samson, Gideon. Are you following me? These were judges. Deborah was a judge. So a woman has led Israel before. And God, are you following me? Judges chapter 5. Judges 5 verse, let's start from verse 1. Because it will come in hand in our story today. Does then, is it chapter 5? Thank you, Lord Jesus. I learned something this morning. Oh, yes. Okay, chapter 5 is when they had won the battle, I guess. So chapter 4. And the children of Israel, again, did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was. Ehud was a judge. And the pattern in Israel then was, you know, they are funny. Whenever there is a judge leading them, they begin to behave well. Once the judge dies, they begin to misbehave. So, Ehud died. Ehud was a great man. Ehud was a left-handed man. You know, there are many things you find in the Bible, and all of that is God trying to say, and all these things you guys believe is you people's thought pattern. So, in Israel then, right hand is seen as symbol of power. But Ehud was left-handed. And he judged Israel. God was making certain statements that many of the things you are fighting with, they are just a creation of man. Are you following me? He was left-handed. But he stood led Israel. Anyway, when he was dead, verse 2, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, and that reigned in Hazor. The captain of whose souls was Sisera, which dwelt in the Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed. So they were in captivity for 20 years. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidot, she judged Israel at that time. We're going to continue with this story shortly. So the judge of Israel at the time was Deborah. So, the same way Samson judged Israel, Deborah judged Israel. What it means was that Deborah had a spot where the whole Israel gathered to her so that she can judge them. What does that mean? So that she can teach them, so that she can lead them, so that she can make decisions. Where is that spot? Verse 5. The Bible said, she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. So I get the point. It's not just that Deborah went to war. That's what we just know. She was a judge in Israel. That had a spot where people gathered. People come. So every day she sits there. They come to her. So she was the king, in a sense, at the time. And she was a woman. And so the idea that a woman cannot do certain secular jobs is actually not God's creation. Of course, there are jobs that will require a man's strength. What if a woman thinks she's up to it and can do it? God will not say no. Are you following the point? To any kind of secular job, can a woman be a politician? Yes. Yes. One of the issues I have with politics in Nigeria, in the world generally, but I differ a little from how people think. Right? When, what's the name of this last lady that contested? It's not Hillary. Was it Hillary? In the U.S. Kamala Harris. When Kamala Harris was contesting with Trump, people asked me why I supported. I said I didn't support her. And they were like, yes, she's a woman. I said, that's a problem. You people are still judging from side of gender. When it is politics, eh? Let us look at competence. Just like in Nigeria now, they say, vote this person because he's young. Don't vote him because he's young. Let the youth lead. A foolish youth. We lead the country astray. I get to the point. I won't vote you because you are a youth or because you are young or because you're a woman. I'm not going to do that. But if you're a woman and you can deliver, I will vote you. I won't also vote you because you're a man. I want to deliver you from this gender thing. I get to the point. If someone is contesting, why didn't I vote Kamala Harris? Well, I didn't say, am I American citizen? I say vote. Why didn't I support her in my own mind? I saw her policies. I didn't like her policies. Now, this is church. This is not politics. So, in church, you are free to differ from, with your pastor as far as politics is concerned. Are you aware? Are you aware? You are free to have your own political views. I can say I'm APC and you say no, you are PDP and I'm still your pastor. You've not worked in rebellion. I get to the point. So, I didn't like Kamala Harris' position on certain things. It was my choice. I didn't like it. And I wasn't going to vote her because I wanted a lady to become president. Just like people voted Barack Obama because he was black. I didn't like that idea. It's awful I'm talking about. I didn't like it because I'm trying to see the human race, how God sees it. God doesn't see black. God doesn't see white. God doesn't see woman. God doesn't see man. God sees human beings. Are you getting the point? So Deborah did not judge Israel because she was a woman. She didn't judge Israel because she was a woman. She judged Israel because at the time, she was one that the calling fell upon. And she had the capacity to do it. And that was it. And so I'm trying to help you. You must break out from this psychological prison that the world has put you. Because also, because in our attempts to also fight for the woman, in quotes, we are still making her see herself different. Are you getting the point? Or see herself less. And most of these politicians are using it to push propaganda. So somebody comes out to contest for election. It's next 2 years now. But the next year you start seeing the campaigns. Vote her because she's a woman. A woman has never ruled the country. Is that the point? Tell us what you will do. I get the point. Tell us that when you get in there, you will change this, you will change that. Give us your manifesto. We'll like it. I will vote for you. I get the point. And that's how it should be. Stop getting into this political, this thing that, because that's just used to win election. And that's why if I get to anywhere where a woman is being marginalized, and I find out that it's just because she's a woman, I'm going to fight. Because it doesn't make any sense. That same way, if I get to any place where a man is being marginalized, I'll still fight. Because, you know, I'm trying to say, if we begin to see human race with God's perspective, nobody's going to suffer. Because we are now fighting for women. And men are being ignored. Because they are men. So a woman can do anything and go scot-free. If a man does it, he goes down. Because we still have that gender thing in our head. If someone is marginalized, male or female, defend the person. Are you what I'm talking about? Defend the person. If a man deals with a woman, deal with the man. If a woman deals with a man, what do you do? Deal with the woman. That's nothing like women supporting women. You are still the one carrying that thing, that gender thing in your head. And I'm trying to crash it in this meeting. And it's not working yet. But before I'm done, it will work. Glory to God. So you may be able to see things differently. So God doesn't think. So God picked Deborah. We're going to see some other examples in the Bible as we proceed. To stand in some. And she, you know, later in the Bible, not only was she a judge, she went to war. No, she didn't go to war. She led Israel to battle. To deal with a 20 years captivity. 20 years. 20 years. And that was Deborah. Great, great woman. We read, last year we were studying the story of Esther, you remember? We looked at Esther last year. Stood as a queen. play their part in the part to the preservation of God's holy people. Amen. So God thinks that a woman can stand in whatever secular office. Whatever secular office. I'm starting with secular for a reason. So God doesn't think a woman cannot lead Nigeria. No, he doesn't think so. Do you understand the point? God doesn't think a woman cannot lead Enugu State. He doesn't think so. He said, but why is it hard? Because men and even women have a distorted view. Do you know there are women that will not vote for a woman just because she's a woman? Are you aware of what I'm saying? Women that, just because she's a woman, say, woman like me wants to be governor. No, I won't vote her. Now, does it matter? The question is, can she do it? And you look at portfolio, okay, she has, okay, fine, let's vote for her. Amen. Because there's something, you know, I have, you know, this is not a political meeting, but I have a little, I'm disturbed with how we do politics in Nigeria. And I address some of these things from time to time because I know that many of you are not going to end here. It's going to take you very far. How many of you will go into politics? A number of you. You may not know it, but you will see it later. Some of it will dawn on you 20 years from now. That's just like we come to, we say, well, let us give appointments to some person because he's from this village. Why? Why? Doesn't make any sense to me. And that's why we have politicians, commissions who don't perform. Because we appointed them because they are from a certain village. We pick them because they are women. We pick them because they are men. We pick them because they are black and because they are white. And they get there and they begin to misbehave. What were you expecting? What was the qualification? Apart from tribe. I feel what I'm saying. Now, if you want to do tribal politics, it's fine. But at least when you get to that tribe, pick someone that has sense. I get what I'm saying. Now, if you're ever going to pick a woman to lead, make sure you pick a woman that can. Because yes, there are women that can. But the problem is that the women that we eventually pick, some of them, they can't. But they begin to push it on us to vote them because they're women. Just like when there are many Igbo people, I'm an Igbo man, that have contested for election in Nigeria, that didn't vote. And if they come out 10 times, I will not vote them. Do you understand? Even from my village. Hey, you don't understand it. Even from my village. Because for me, election thing is I vote my conscience. Yes. The thing about it is, in the past 4 or 5 elections I participated in, I've never voted the winner. Never, not once. I've never voted him. In fact, the last 2 elections, the person I voted is not even in the first 10 candidates. In fact, in that polling unit, I was the only person. And I stayed there to make sure they counted out my vote. So when they called it and said 1, I said, yes, that's me. He said, why do you do that? You threw your vote away. Well, I don't see like that. I read through the portfolio. I felt he could do the job. Praise God. We must be able to see differently. We must be able to see differently. So God doesn't think a woman should be excluded from any secular job, right? Again, God doesn't think that women cannot do ministry. Because this gender rubbish, we brought it to the church. And that's why there are some women and some men who think that only men should preach. That is an ideology that the Bible doesn't preach. Please, I want you to deal with that. A woman can be a pastor. And let me even correct this, because I will take what I was going to say later. Let me correct this. There is no place in the Bible. Okay, there is nothing in the Bible like women ministry. God has never sent any woman to women. Now, I'm just telling you plainly. We created that thing. Men created that thing so that they can avoid, they can feed their pride. If a woman is called, she's called to both men and women. Amen. So, Judges 4 verse 4 rather.
We see Deborah. Bible tells us before she even became a judge, she was a prophetess, wife of Lapidus. So Deborah was well married. And please, her husband's name was not Prophet Lapidus. Her husband's name was what? Lapidus. The husband was not a prophet, but she was a prophetess. And she judged Israel, so she prophesied to the entire... At the time, she was the only standing prophet in Israel. And she was a woman. So God does not think that you cannot be an evangelist. God does not think that you cannot be a pastor. God does not think that you cannot be a missionary. God does not think that you cannot carry the gospel around the whole world. He doesn't think so. In Jesus' ministry, we see the involvement of women very heavily. Well, somebody is going to say, or somebody is asking me, if this what you're saying is like this, how come we did not see much of women in the Bible? Well, I'm going to say some things to you. You know, the Bible was written at a time when indeed it was a man's world. Do you understand? So some of those stories we are mentioned in the Bible, but I will not give elaborate attention. But they are there. Are you following me? So in Luke chapter 8, 1, 2, and 3, we read the story of some women. So Jesus actually had women in his traveling team. But if you read the Bible, you will think Jesus only traveled with men, the 12 apostles. It's not actually true. But it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. So who are with him? The 12. Are we counting? The 12. Then who else were with him? Certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, women traveled with him. In fact, if we get to verse 3, we find out that these women were majorly responsible for the financial success, financial flow in Jesus' ministry. Look at that now. Mention Joanna, wife of Chuza, Herod, Stewart, Susanna, many others, which ministered unto him. Mother sometimes, give me like NLT. Go to verse 2. New Living Translation from verse 2. He said, along with some women. So the 12 are with him, along with some women. Say, where were they? Go back to verse 1. So now you find out the background. It's not like they went to a particular place. Soon after, they began a tour nearby towns and villages. So he did a tour through many towns and villages. It wasn't just one place he visited. And in that tour, he had the 12 and had these women. Are you getting the point? So the idea that women cannot do ministry. Somebody said, I heard somebody talking like an idiot. One boy, one man. He said, I cannot go to any church. A woman is the pastor. And I told him, don't even go to church at all. How can a woman be telling me what to do? The thing is, we bring our culture, that our cultural bullshit, into the church. And we think the church should be run by how you think. There are some scriptures coming to your mind. I'm getting there. But Paul said, a woman cannot talk in the church. Paul never said that. Never. That didn't even imply it. But is there is a context where Paul was talking. You get the point? A woman should not come to church and is fighting for authority that it was not given to her. How do you know Paul never preached that? We are getting to the ministry of Paul, where you will see that some of the big churches that Paul was overseeing, women were the pastors there. And I'm going to show you. Are you following me? So Paul never said that. Soon after, just began a tour nearby village. See the next verse. He took with him 12 of his disciples, along with some women he had healed from, and from whom he cast out evil spirits. Among them, we are Mary Magdalene, whom he had cast out, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. Okay. Verse 3. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's business manager, Susanna, and many others. See, Jesus had the team of women. These names that were mentioned were just the prominent women in town. He had a team of women moving with him. But you know, the Bible writers, I said, you know, it was written by men. So he said, and many others.
So when Jesus came to the earth, he wasn't moving around with only men. And many others who were contributing their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. So women were a major reason why Jesus' ministry did well financially. Now, that also tells you that they were not broke. And so because to think that women should just be there waiting to be married and to be eating money. Oriako. Achalugo, right? So a woman in this place, her dream is that Odogwu will come and marry her. Imagine that. While you are what? I'm sure I'm not your pastor. If you are here and you are thinking like that, I'm not yet. I want to be your pastor. But I'm not yet. You are not yet there. What are you telling me? Why are we bringing this African culture thing into the church? Amen. Now, the extreme of what I'm saying now, there are now women that hate men. Who say, what a woman can do, a man can do, but I don't believe in that too. I don't believe that. What do I believe? Human beings. Are you following me, friends? I don't believe. All these fights, what a man can do, a woman can do better. So who are you to tell me what to do? What is all those fights about? Maybe I preach this way because my first close mentor in ministry was a woman. That I'm preaching, the first person that helped me sit down to prepare a message on how to preach was a woman. The first person that gave me a platform, say, carry this mic and preach, was a woman. So what are people telling me? So all these you guys are saying, it's funny to me. It doesn't make any sense to me. Because if women cannot do ministry, I shouldn't be here. You are listening to the product of a woman. The first seeds of ministry were sown in me by a lady. I get what I'm saying. So we see Anna, for instance, who was in the temple for long. Get to the book of Acts, you see Priscilla. Priscilla and Aquila. Aquila was the husband, Priscilla was the wife. And they did ministry together. In fact, Priscilla and Aquila, their story is so significant because not only did they do ministry, they played a role in mentoring one of the greatest men that stood in the early church. His name was Apollos. Apollos was a very big minister at the time, but he was not knowledgeable at all. He loved the Lord, but he was preaching rubbish. He was preaching John's baptism, preaching a lot of crazy things. So when Aquila and Priscilla met him, just Acts chapter 18, from verse 1, Aquila and Priscilla met him and heard him. Now notice, the Bible said he was already very popular at the time. Go to the next verse, verse 2. And found certain Jew, Aquila and all of that. Next verse. And because it was so Paul stayed with Aquila and Priscilla. Okay, continue. You'll find where he met, if you go down to verse, I think chapter 18, later part of verse 8, of chapter 18, you'll find where he met, where they met Apollos, who the Bible said was mighty in scriptures. Like, he was very popular. Very popular at the time. But Priscilla and Aquila met him, father, he didn't know the word, sat him down, and the Bible was so clear to show that it wasn't only Aquila that mentored him, it was actually both of them. If anything, if it actually means anything, Priscilla's name is always mentioned for Aquila. And that tells you she was very significant, even in the man's world. She was significant in mentoring Apollos. I get to the point. Look at that. A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in scriptures, came to Ephesus. And then in verse 25, the Bible tells us, this man was instructed in the word of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. But in verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and began to mentor him. See, you're not talking right to. See, woman mentored. The man became so great eventually that later in the book of Corinth,
Corinthians, the fight was, some said I'm of Apollos, others said I'm of Paul. He had risen to that stature in ministry, mentored by a lady and a husband. Is someone following me this morning? So you must deliver yourself from whatever thing you've put around your neck. So read about them. We read about Acts 21 verse 9. Read about Philip's daughters. Philip had four daughters who were prophetesses. Right? Four daughters who stood and flowed in the prophetic. Then in Romans 16 verse 1, Romans 16 verse 6, Romans 16 verse 12, Romans 16 verse 27, we see different names. Because Romans 16, Paul was thanking a lot of people that worked with him in ministry. So go to verse 1. Let's start from there. Romans 16 verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church. Which is a church. Do you know what servant means? That word means she's a minister in charge of such a center. Give me another translation. Another translation. NLT called her a deacon. Another translation, Amplified Classic or something. They were called a deaconess. You know the interesting thing? Go to King James. Let me just show you something. Because I just mentioned Phoebe. Phoebe is an important character whenever I teach on women. Go to verse 27. If you do not have a King James Bible, you might not have verse 27. In fact, even some King James Bible don't have this verse 27 I'm talking about. There is a footnote after verse 27, because even the one you guys are projecting with obviously does not have it. Does John have it? What did he say? So that letter was written in Romans. But this letter, this book of Romans, in Corinth, rather, this book of Romans was delivered by Phoebe. Like she was the one that brought it to the church. She was the pastor in charge. I feel what I'm saying. She was the pastor. She was the one that delivered the letter. It wasn't the man that brought the letter. So women were so important in Paul's ministry that you couldn't have assumed that he was a chauvinist or something. I feel what I'm saying. Women were so important in his ministry. So she was the one that sent the letter to them and all of that. And so it's so important that we don't miss it. We don't miss it. So she was a pastor. She was in charge. She was in charge. So that's Romans 16 and verse 6. On verse 1 rather. If you get to verse 6, you read about another person called Mary. Mary. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. So Paul talked about Mary and uses the word labor. Labor, which is a very important word if you've been studying the New Testament very well. Most times when Paul talks about labor, he talks about ministry. That word labor is the word kopiao. It means to work hard. So this lady worked very hard for the ministry. So we see Mary, we see others, like go to verse 12. Verse 12. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis. So Persis was a woman which labored much in the Lord. There were women that labored much. That labored much in the Lord. Just that the way their names are mentioned in the book of Romans 16, you will not know they were women. Because, of course, you say, why don't you know they were men? The reason is because Paul didn't also say others were men. Like, Paul did not have to, I get what I'm talking about. He didn't have to say, these are the men, these are the women. He just spoke to them as one new man in Christ. We are now the ones digging deep because of the issues you are having today. And finding, okay, who owns this name? Was this a female name at the time? Was it a male name at the time? Oh, Mary was a female name. Paul never said Mary, who is a woman. No. He never said Phoebe, who is a woman. He just gave the names. I get what I'm talking about. So God thinks a woman can do ministry. And that will lead me to make the next statement. God thinks a woman can lead. Because Deborah led. We're saying that Phoebe led. And I'm saying God thinks a woman can lead men. Now, if you are in this church, you actually don't need this message I'm preaching. All you have to do is to observe this church. For instance, in Enugu church now, right? I'm working with 3 female pastors and 3 male pastors. Now, I didn't do that selection to balance the gender. No. That's the point. I don't believe that. Say, I'll pick 3 men. I think we must pick 3 women so that there can be gender equality. I don't believe in that too. It was just God said, that one, that one, that one. After picking, I found out, okay, there are 3 pastors. There are 3. I get to the point. Because if you are clouded by this gender thing, you're going to get into trouble. There are men who raise big empires, run big companies, give birth to children, blinded by the gender thing. The woman obviously has more capacity to run the company than the men. But because the gender thing has blinded them, they say he must be a man. Give it to the man. Fine, the man will take it and run the company to the ground. Then turn it the other way. There are also men that will say, I'm supporting women. Let's give it to a woman. Who doesn't have capacity? She will run to the ground. That's a very, I don't want to take case to this. That's a very big company in this country. I won't talk about it, but it was run to the ground by a woman. Yes. You know why? Because women support it. It's a woman that started it. So it must be handed over to a woman to continue the legacy. Who said so? Who said so? Your husband's ministry today, the person handling that ministry today is a woman, Bishop Ladona Osborne, the daughter, and doing so well. I get to the point. So there is no law that said when a man starts a ministry, then he must hand over to his son. What if he's the daughter? Callings are not gender sensitive. Who continued E.W. Kenyon's legacy? The daughter, Ruth Kenyon. Now, who continued Kenneth Hagin's ministry? The son. I get to the point. God does not do gender. God does calling. And this calling has nothing to do with man or woman. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So God thinks, you know, there's a woman I love so much in this country. Pastor Nkechiene of the Carpenters Church. And the story, you know, there are men that, you know, how many of you know Carpenters Church? If you know Port Harcourt, at least you know Carpenters Church. That church was founded by a man. And not even her husband. Don't think her husband died. No. A man. When he was about to die, the Lord spoke to him to hand over to Pastor Nkechi. And all the fights came. How can there be men? Pastors in this church, I hand over to a woman. Well, now, I was listening to my pastor was talking about it. He said there was this lady that was trying to invite Pastor Nkechi for a women conference. So she told them, she can be very raw like that, so forgive me. So she just said, "This is inviting me to a women's conference. I'm not a woman minister. I'm just a man of God with breasts." Then he said, "The only difference between me and other men of God is that I have breasts. So I'm a man of God. So I'm not a female. I'm not sent to women. No. So if I bring me to this program because it's a woman program, I'm not coming." Are you what I'm talking about? And that's perspective. So because you're a woman, you think whenever God calls you, you must do program and gather women. At the end of the day, you're out there pushing in that particular place. It's not even gospel. You're preaching feminism. Because you get all the women and you're saying, women, you can rise. Women, we can take over. Women, supporting women. Women, taking over everything. That's not ministry. That's political campaign. When God calls you, He calls you and sends you to everybody. Every gender. Yes, because you're a woman,
There are tendencies that naturally you'll be more drawn to women. But it doesn't also mean you don't have a ministry towards the men. Look at Joyce Meyer's ministry today. You see only women there. How you feel what I'm saying? Everybody just gathers around. Of course, there are more women there because to start with, some of the men are not yet delivered from their cultural mindset to come and listen to a woman. So naturally, there will be more women there. But it doesn't mean that there's no ministry to the women. And you see the husband that she fondly calls Dave. If you see how he has been this man. The husband is not a minister. Okay, he's the minister, but he's not a pastor. He's not a husband in church. This woman is just there serving, assisting in the ministry. Making sure she just does her things. So God doesn't send, because most times, I'm saying it again, in an attempt to start ministry only for women, we are not preaching we're not pushing the gospel agenda. We are pushing feminism. And feminism is not the gospel. It's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. I just hope you can leave this meeting, see yourself differently. Not as a woman, not as a man, but as God's child, God's minister, God's servant. Because I'm not saying you should not begin to fight with men. If you're a man here, what's the fight? It's not necessary. The important thing is, I'm God's child. If I have a calling from God, I'm going to fulfill it. I'm going to fulfill it. That's why you can see mom preach. If I have national meetings, she preaches. If I have special programs, she preaches. If I want her to preach in church, she will preach. If she wants to lay hands and you don't want her to put her hands on you as a man, you get out of the church. Because you're not ready to grow. Callings are not gender. And it's not even because I'm married. It's because you're married to her. Well, I've been ordaining female pastors from time. The first set of people I made pastors in this church were women. When I don't know, actually. My first branches were pastored by women. So it's not because I married anybody. Are you know what I'm talking about? And it's not because I wasn't doing women supporting women. Am I a woman? Go for me. I wasn't doing man supporting women. I wasn't pushing a feminist agenda. At the time, I prayed, and people who had the capacity to handle it, we are the ladies then. So they handled it. Are you getting blessed this morning? That's how ministry works. So God thinks a woman can lead. And so woman, why do you think you cannot lead? Why do you think you cannot be in charge if they put you in charge? I'm not saying you get that and start being political. But if it comes on you, you are in your classroom and you feel drawn to politics, school politics. Or you are in your office and you want to become a manager, a branch manager in this office one day. What makes you think you cannot? Because you're a woman. God doesn't see you that way. Now you mustn't see yourself that way. Amen. Then if I have to touch the gray areas, God also thinks that women should be big on good works. Now, listen to this. Not primarily because they are women, but because they are believers. Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. Amen. Titus 2, 3, 4 and 5. Talked about God's, come on. If you don't have it, I'll get it myself. Titus 2, verse 3. So God thinks women should be big on good works. He said, the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. They should be, aged women should be in behavior as becometh holiness. What does that mean? Give me like an NLT of this verse. So it's not because they are women. Simply teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. Simple. Because they are God's holy children, not because they are women particularly. So why was not addressing women? Because just like in this program, if I now begin to preach in this program and say, hello, everybody, all women in this place, make sure you give. I'm not saying only women should give. But because in this place I'm addressing women, Again, to the point. So this, he was telling him how to address women. He was teaching Titus, when you call a women conference, look at the kind of things you teach there. And he said they should honor God. He said they must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. So he said women should not be heavy drinkers. Is he now saying that men should be heavy drinkers? No. If you read his address to men too, he also told them not to be given to wine. I feel I'm talking about. So the preaching of good works is not because our society has made it in a way that only women are trained to be right. The men can be stupid, but a woman must be right. No. That's not the position of the Bible. But the woman must, you better leave him and even wine. You're a woman. You can't be living like that. See how you are drinking. Don't you know you're a woman? Should a man now drink? The idea of not drinking is not man or woman. It's Bible standpoint. You can't be giving to wine. Are you getting the point? They must not slander others of heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. Verse 4. He now said, the older woman must train younger women to love their husbands and children. He said, you see, that pushing of the woman. Did you not also read Ephesians chapter 5, where the Bible said that husbands should love their wives? When we are teaching certain people, it is not because that instruction is just for them. It's just because that people we are talking to now. So God thinks that women should be big on good works, but it's not just because they are women, but because they are believers in Christ Jesus. Are you following me? For instance, God thinks also that women will do better in keeping their homes than the men. Now, this is where specificity comes in. Why is it like that? Well, I told you something earlier when I was starting, that the method of between man and woman is childbirth. That's why the man doesn't have a womb, the woman has a womb. Somebody actually said, and it was funny, but it just made sense, that a woman is a womb man. A man that has a womb. Because the only thing that differs in the man and the woman are the things that would make for reproduction, childbirth. I get the point. So because it is the woman that has the job to bring forth children, right? God expects that they must train their children. Men too should train their children. Because the Bible already told us in Ephesians 6 verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. So there are also instructions around there. Then God also thinks that the woman should be able to keep the home better. And whenever we get to this, people get angry. I say, are you saying the woman should be the one cooking, should be the one washing plates? The reason you are fighting that fight is because you are still thinking about yourself as inferior. You know, they're talking about low self-esteem. Let me calm down. When you have low self-esteem, you interpret. One of the major things God told me to deal with in this perfect lady this year, that's actually, is about esteem, women and their esteem. I want you to see yourself differently. When you have low self-esteem, you interpret everything from the back. You think everything is working against you. So because you already have an esteem issue, you already have that thing that women are being, they're trying to say I'm a woman, they're not saying wash plate. You're not saying, is it because I'm a woman? They say you should wash plate. When a pastor has low self-esteem already, thinks he or she has been marginalized, he's not being treated well, if they now say, the department you are manning for this meeting is the sanctuary department, make sure everywhere is cleaned. You get it, but make sure the toilet is always clean and all of that. He will pick offense. Why am I the one that puts in charge of toilets? Because there's already a personality problem. And that's a major problem. How do I perceive, I'm going to look at, give me verse 5 of Titus chapter 2. How do I perceive working in the home? And how does God see it? He said women should be taught to keep their homes. To be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at home. Why does God think so? Because by the makeup of a woman, there are certain roles that she will do better with. I've given this example many, many times. If you come to my house today, right, my house, I don't do many things. But then there are many things that my wife does not do. Like I was talking to you guys in the office. If we are in the house now and our generator has problem,
You can never see my wife carrying Jen to go and repent. Why? She shouldn't do that. It's not feminine. And every lady agrees with this thing I just said. But if we now say a lady should cook, why should I do something? Believe what is wrong with it. Yes, it's because you're a woman. Are you following me? Why don't you also get angry? Why am I the one to breastfeed? Is it because I'm a woman? Exactly the point. What I believe about working in the home is and it varies from family to family. There are certain rules. For instance, I can't let my wife now. You can never go to a mechanic and you see my wife carrying her car, sitting down there saying, "Bacharum blogger." See, you know, if her car has a problem, I will take it there. It's not an awe thing. It's not love. It's just sense. Do you understand the point? That's how I think. So when the Bible said, keep us at home. Give me like NLT of that verse. NLT. To live vessels and to be pure. To walk in their homes. He's not saying that the only ones that walk in the homes. He's only saying there are certain works that they should do in the home. If you read your Bible, when Abraham and Sarah were together, when Abraham had guests, and he wanted to prepare food for them, he sent Sarah to do that. You get the point? But read your Bible, there were other jobs that Abraham did in the home. He said, like what? Like many things. I can show you many. Like, did you ever see Sarah going to tend to the sheep outside? Controlling flock? Controlling sheep? No. And so, why there is always a fight about women, should they work in home, should not work in home, should they cook, who should cook, is because to start with, you already think that they are trying to marginalize you. And if you think so, then don't marry anybody that you think is trying to marginalize you. If you marry a man, you know, that loves you and respects you, you get the point. You will not work in the home not thinking, I can't imagine my wife cooking in the kitchen and feel like every day somebody is cooking. No. You understand the point? Now, do I cook in my house? Well, I have cooked. Now, whether it was eating or not is not the important thing. But there was an attempt. You understand the point? You know, recently when I began to tell my wife, you need to learn how to do some of, let me just show you how to do this, how to turn on Jen, how to, because normally it doesn't concern her. So what does a man even do in the house? I will tell you. A man is the carpenter. You know, men are carpenters in the house. A man is the electrician. Daddy, boy, bad that works. Daddy, sweet child that works. And this is a man that you are doing. A man is the plumber. So this thing is no more flowing. Now, I don't think any sensible man will be comfortable sitting in the parlor and the wife is climbing ladder to go and change bulb. So if she falls and they take her to the hospital and then I'm saying, explain what happened. What story will you tell? I get what I'm talking about. I just think it's about gender roles. Gender roles. Oh, somebody wanted to sit down on our seat and then the seat broke. So who should bring hammer and nail to fix it? So when he said work in their homes, he's not saying men do not work. The work that is for the woman in the home, fine, they should do it. Amen. Should a man assist the woman in the kitchen? If you like, I'm marrying Mumu. Can't marry an animal that will not help you. Even if you're a man listening to this, even if you will not assist your wife in the kitchen, at least be there. If you're not doing it, just sit down there. And there are many benefits to that. I know what I'm saying. Many benefits. You know, there is this thing they call pomo. That is fish. You'll be blessed in so many ways. It's not like you're demanding for it. But then, he just passes by. Glory to God. What do you even do in that kitchen? They say pound pepper. What are you doing? What exactly do you do? And these days, there is no pound, it's blender. half day, it's not to just hold the blender. It's done. You bring it. What exactly do you do there? So I think the problem is we have men and women who have a personality. So a man feels, why should I be in the kitchen? A man like me in the kitchen. It's still that same thing I'm talking about. Low self-esteem. That's why you think that because they put you in the kitchen, they've removed your penis. Does your manhood stop functioning because you went to the kitchen? It's still, that's why you shouldn't marry an idiot. I get what I'm talking about. And then don't be an idiot. Because it's still because you have that in your head, that wrong perspective thing. That's why if you do something, you begin to feel like nobody's marginalizing you. Calm down. And if there is someone marginalizing you, please don't marry the person. How many of you know there are good men out there? Hallelujah. Just that we are not mean in this world. My wife is just lucky to get me. So there are even about 14 of us. So pay close attention. You might get some. You will get someone before it's finished. Because there are not plenty in the world. But there are good people. There are good people. Even if they are not perfect people, there are growing people. I get what I'm saying. People who are willing to grow, who are willing to adjust. And if I'm going to say a few things about marriage before I just proceed, don't carry fight into your marriage. Before you get married, decide that when I enter this marriage, I'll look at my husband and whatever that is working, we will make it work. Whatever, I get what I'm saying. I give an example. You've carried fights now. I cannot marry a man that will not be cooking in the kitchen. Now, if that's your plan, that's okay. But please ensure that before you say I do, find out if he can cook. So I don't get married a man that for 30 years the mom couldn't teach him how to cook. You think you will teach him? When you get married, look at what works in your home. Are you good what I'm talking about? Anybody I marry, I wash my clothes, you wash your clothes. Now if that's what you want to do, it's okay. But make sure that before you marry, you check whether he even washes his clothes at all. I'm just saying. Because by the time you marry, he will agree if he's a good person. So every time you guys dress up and you're leaving the house, you're perceiving things. Enter the room, everybody is messed up. What will he now produce? You guys start fighting. How can a grown man, not wash his clothes? Yeah, so let's be like that. Didn't you know? When he's talking and he does like this in church before you married him, don't you see his dirty singlet? And you still said yes. And you enter the marriage, you are carrying your own perspective of, I wash my clothes, wash your clothes. Be radio. If he's a good man, you'll not even complain. Normally, before you marry, has been washing once in a month. So he will continue his life because people don't change in marriage. Are you following me? So you see, come to your room and say, what is smell? How can a grown man? His mother tried that thing for over 30 years before he met you, and he still turned out like that. And you think somehow you are powerful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So God thinks, and that's what I'm going to say, God thinks that women should submit to their own husbands. Now, with everything I have said, you should now know that God thinks women should submit to their husband, not because they are women. That's the point I'm trying to make. But because the Bible teaches a principle of submission to leadership. And in the home, the man is the leader. So, do you know, I wish I had time. In Ephesians 5, verse 22, that's when people just go and stop. Where the Bible said, wives submit to their husband. In fact, you must realize that this instruction in verse 22 did not start from here. It started from verse 21. And verse 21 means, I love how NLT put it, further and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, right? Who was he talking to at this point? Huh? Everybody. He now began to break down. Please don't miss what I'm going to say. He now began to expound on this verse 21. In verse 22, he now said, for wives, this means, I can see the point. He spoke from this verse 22 to the last verse of chapter 5, explaining what it means for wives. He now got to chapter 6. What is he still explaining? That statement he made in verse 21. Submit one to another. Verse chapter 6, verse 1. He now said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. I get to the point. He now left there. He now got to verse Go to verse 5. Slaves, obey your earthly masters. Serve them sincerely as you will serve Christ. Verse 6. Come on. Try to please them. So you notice, it wasn't just wives he talked to. The method he was teaching on is submission. So wives, submit to your husbands. Children, submit to your parents. Servants, submit to your masters. So, he didn't say submit yourself to your husband because you are inferior. No. Because in the home, the husband is the head. That is why, hear what I'm going to say, and that's not to cause trouble. There is nowhere in the Bible where women were asked to submit to men. It's not in the Bible. I get to the point. Women are not asked to submit to men. That's something that people just make up in their head. Everywhere you find in the Bible, go and check what I'm going to say. Even be your kids, what woman was used in the New Testament and submission was being taught. Go to the original of that document. Go to the Greek. All it was translated as wife. All of them. For instance, if you read 1 Corinthians 11, where it said the man is the head of the woman, that's not how it appears in the original. It means the husband is the head of the wife, not man. So there is no place in the Bible where women were asked to submit to men. We are actually told to submit ourselves one to another. So in the home, wives, submit to your husband. Children, obey your parents. At work, slaves, obey your master. Or servants, employee, obey employer. So if in that office your employer is a man, obey him. If he's a woman, obey her. And so when the Bible teaches submission in marriage, you are going to pick offense if you don't understand the premise of the teaching. Are you following me, friends? He's not saying women are inferior. So let me ask you a question. I'm your pastor here, right? You submit to me. Why do you submit to me? Because the Bible teaches in Hebrews 13 verse 17 to obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself to them. NLT said, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. So you are supposed to obey to me. Now, does that make you inferior? Submission doesn't make you inferior. At work, you have a boss that you report to every day. He will say, I need to submit this thing by. And that's what I'm going to say to some of you. I said to some of you that are ladies, please listen to me very well. If you're a boss in your office, do not think that because you're a boss, you are better than everybody. Submission does not mean the other person is better. That's why some people, even, and I say this among ladies very well, when you see a lady as a boss, even talk to other ladies under her, you would think they are non-existent. You idiot, walk to this place. Rob, what is all of that? Because you are what? And these are the same women that will say, if you go to their marriage, I cannot submit to any man. But if you see them in their place of work, let me tell you, any woman that fights submission, most times they're bullies. The reason is simple. They don't want to submit, but they want you to submit to them. So if you don't do it, they must insist until they get it. Any woman, I was saying to the leader, to the man yesterday, if you can follow, you can lead. So you see those women that always say, I cannot submit to any man. I cannot submit to any man. If you see them in their office, you dare not cross their path. Even their fellow women cannot cross their path. You know the problem? They have a problem with submission generally. I get what I'm saying. You know, I see how some women treat people as their employees, and I'm like, Jesus. Ah. How many of you have you ever had a woman boss that was tough? Anybody? Okay, tough, sorry, but that was wicked. Have you? And you see, but you see those people, that's the same thing they are in their home. They don't want you to become to them what they are to their husband.
And that's the problem. So if you have an issue with submission, you are fighting with the Bible generally. So, sir, what are you teaching? Marry a man you can submit to. And if you do not agree with the idea of submission in marriage, don't get married. Because there is the Bible teaching. And if you don't agree with what I said and you got married, you will divorce. I'm just trying to tell you plainly. Or have a terrible home. If you are fighting with the idea of submission in marriage, don't get married. So does submission mean that they will be beating, bullying us? That's exactly what I'm saying. That's not what it means. That's why you to your own place where you are the leader. Don't bully people. Don't suffocate people. But submit. And let me tell you, if you submit and marry a good man, as I believe you did or you will, you'll find out that your marriage will work easily. Let me tell you why it will work. Every system works when there is a leader leading and there are followers following. It's as simple as that. Offices work, the church works that way. Any place where there is no leader leading, I was talking to the men yesterday. That's why if your man is in this church, don't worry, we're handling them well. Amen. And look around. Every time you come to church, trust God, I'm going to give you a man in this church. Say amen. Shout amen.
Amen.
If your neighbor is not shouting amen, ask her, do you really have a man? So shout amen.
Amen.
You know, but for real, I was telling them yesterday, I said many homes break because we demand submission from women, but we are not leaders. So how can a person follow you where you don't even know where you are going? So where is the person following you to exactly? I feel what I'm saying. But a home where there is proper leadership, proper followership, forget it. That home is going to work. And maybe when later is mom that can tell you guys this one very well. Because she's submitting to me in the house. My wife is a perfect, for me, example of submission. And you cannot come to my house. I was telling the men the other day, and I was talking to some people in my office, there is a way a man should not talk to a woman because she's submitting. To start with, I tell the men all the time, your wife is not your daughter. I tell my pastors whenever they want to get married this, I married my spiritual daughter, right? But you say, I told him, she's not my daughter. I cannot be saying this like, will you get, who are you talking to again? Come on, girl, sit down there. Before I count five. You might count 20. If I count five, if I don't find you. No, now, why will you talk to? Somebody said, don't talk to your wife like that in front of people. I said, don't talk to your wife like that at all. You can't do that. And then you too as a woman. I say it all the time, and I'm not saying it. You might say, well, your marriage is not even up to 5 years. Yes, it's not. But we are trying. But my wife has never confronted me. Never. Never stood up. They're crossing the main road, they're hearing you and your wife, husband talking, and they think it's two market women quarreling. So, no. You think it's because, oh, I know your plan. But that will show you this of my marriage. Seriously? In your home, say not me. I know. So, no, but I'm going to show you because you know I'm not somebody can. You think I'm one of those girls? You didn't ask question. No, you can't be like that. I was never, and I don't talk to her like a child. If she picks offense, tell her I was in her house. If she picks offense first. And is angry about something. That's not the time for me to pick offense too. That's not for you to say, oh, sorry. She picked offense. If your guy picks offense, you want to pick offense to show him that he's also wrong. Because sorry is very heavy in your mouth. I told the man yesterday, if you annoy someone, say sorry. Don't try to make the person know that it's not only my fault. You know, women are blessed.
So if a man is angry, he's saying,
even though, okay, yes, I did it, but it's not because,
So when I pick offense, like, I'm really pissed about something, I have to say, sorry. And that sorry doesn't last. Because, you know, recently, something that happened in the house, it wasn't even her thing, it was just something good she did, but I didn't like it. So I was just, I told, I don't like this. And she said, sorry. And after she said sorry, she said, I've never seen you react this way. So I will take note of it. I will not do it again. And I was jokingly telling the men, the reason why she has not seen me react that way is because I've done pick offense over every small thing. Because if you fight over every small thing, it will get to the time when you pick offense, they'll be looking at you. So don't mind it. When he's tired, they will stop. And that's because every small thing is very, if you have time, if you can, get the teaching I did for the men yesterday, healing the male child. Because we are talking about anger management. Some of you streamed it, actually. Anger management. I was talking to them about this. If someone that picks offense of every small thing, it will get to a time when you pick offense, your offense no longer be weighty. So that's what she did do. So then I asked your wife, your husband, let me ask your wife is angry. Say, don't worry, she'll be fine. She'll be fine. Because every small thing, digressions, but a woman should not be, if you're like that, I want to help you. A woman should not be petty. Every small thing is a big offense. So every day in your marriage or relationship, your guy must say sorry at least 2 times. Why? Because everything gets you angry. Every small thing, big offense. Everything. So when we're around you, we don't know how to talk to you so you don't get angry. If you are here and you're in a relationship or in fact your friends, they count their teeth before they talk to you. Because they don't know how they will say it. You might misunderstand it. You need help. What did I say? The Bible said, you can't get that teaching on DSD for them. The Bible said you must be slow to anger. In other words, you should be slow. Some of us are quick to anger. And how did they say it again? I had a quick verse. Why are you like that? That's what breaks up the home. And it starts from your relationships, your friendships. Any small thing you pick up first. So if I want to talk to you about something, have you ever had friends who misunderstand things differently? Have you ever had such friends? Who you tell something small and they pick up. You're not the one explaining. That's not how I meant it. That's not what I meant. No. But he's saying, so you're trying to say, he said, no, I didn't mean that. If you're that kind of person, please stop it. And I'm talking about things they've made women to look like. Don't excuse it. A guy was talking to me in the office. Said, my lady, they are actually in a relationship. Then she picks offense over every small thing. He said, but I know that's how women are generally. I say it's a lie. If that's the excuse you're making, that's not correct. That's not how women are. Any small thing, you're just so touchy. So guys, just playing with you. I say, this is your head there. Like coconuts. Carry the coconut set out of here. He didn't even say another thing. He didn't even use orange. It's coconut. Any small thing just pisses you off. Stop it. A believer should not be petty. The Bible said you must be slow to anger. In other words, the distance between you and anger should be far. In other words, it should take a while to get you angry. So when you get angry, they will say, this one, you have to test in your secondary school. Who flogged you for anything? They're always flogging. When they get angry, at the time, students will not even take them serious. But there are some teachers who are very serious. They don't flog all the time. But the day they mean you, other students will be telling you, what did you do to Mr. Okoro? And that's the problem. Many of us are just so petty. Because we just want to fight in our home, want to show our husband, want to show that we are this. If you are not ready to submit, my sincere counsel is don't get married. And you will not be a sinner to not get married. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches that some people should not marry. You cannot disagree with structure. I told, for instance, you are in church. You don't believe that you should submit to your pastor. Don't be in church. You can't disagree with the principles that guide a system and you want to be part of that system. It's not going to work.
Submission is the principle that guides marriage. So why do you say so? Because the Bible says so. Except you have another document you're working with.
So God thinks women should submit. Amen. But like I said, not because she's inferior, but because she's the follower and the man is the leader in marriage. So how do I put it all the time? If... Okay. In our pastoral team now, I've not yet brought in plenty structures. So we don't have... It's deliberate. But meetings like LMP, you know LMP is coming. For the past 4 years or more, the person that has been in charge of LMP, that has been coordinating LMP, of course, I'm the director of LMP and all of that, but the person that has been in charge is Pastor Delight. Amen. And she's married today to a pastor too. Pastor Chidi. The leadership of LMP did not move from Delight to Chidi because they're now married. Are you what I'm talking about? If not. And so at home, Pastor Delight should submit to Pastor Chidi. But you see, in LMP now, Pastor Delight can say, I'm allocating people that lead prayer. You'll be leading prayer tomorrow. And the answer is okay. So, submission is something about, it's not about church, it's not about gender. It's about where we are. It's about where we are. So that you can marry as a pastor. You can marry a man that's not a pastor. And you should submit to him at home. But you see, in church, he submit to you. You can be a manager in your company and you marry the secretary of your company. So I say, oh, that's marrying down. Why do you guys even think like that? I want to just help you. So a man that is a manager marrying a secretary is not marrying down. But a woman that is a manager. So if a man that is CEO marries the cleaner, how do we say it? God has lifted the woman. Say, Chai, God has blessed you. But if a woman that is a CEO marries a cleaner, you see, there is still a problem. But God will help you. Somebody asked me, can that system work? I said, if, anytime I see that kind of system, I always ask the woman, one question, can you submit to this man? Can you let this man lead you? Will you guys be having issues in the house and you say, will you get out of this place cleaner like you? Can you get to a point where you guys are trying to make decision on which school your child will go to and you will say, why are you complaining? I don't want paying the bills. If you cannot submit, don't marry. But if you can, I get to the point. So what happens is when people get to work, he has to answer to you. And if he's a wise man, sending his reports early, do his things very well, you too as the wife at home, you should be able to differ to him. You know, not differ, you know, you get what I'm saying? You say, babe, I'm collecting reports tomorrow. And tomorrow, I will suspend everybody that did not bring their report to. So just rush your own. You can even say, let me look at the report before you submit it. I say, this one is not correct. Let's fix it. Then you come to the office, you frown your face. He says, secretary, let me have your report. A report you've seen at home. And that's, I get what I'm saying. There is no fight. What he cannot do is to get to that place where I present the report and say, hey, my darling, what? Mm-mm. You know, we were having a meeting in the office recently, and I wanted to talk to my wife. I said, babe, bring this. And I told him, Pastor, oh, sorry. You don't know why I told you sorry. Because while we are in the office, you don't have to be doing, babe, honey, sweetie. Mm-mm. That's ministry taking place there. I get what I'm saying. That's why you don't see me now. I want to. My wife says, "Oh, baby, we are inside this place." It's not the pulpit that you use for that kind of thing. Here, so you see how when she comes up to preach, she says, "I want to thank Pastor. I want to thank my father." That's who she is here. Who I am here. Do you think that's how we talk in the house? And then she sees my time and said, "My pastor, you are welcome. My spiritual father, the one that trained me and mentored me in ministry." That's how it works. So submission is not about gender. It's about where we are. I'm trusting that God will raise many of you in different fields. In different fields. You employ men, you employ women. In different fields. Because God thinks you can lead. So where the idea of submission comes in for the woman is only in the home. That's where women. Then outside the home, once she's following too, she must submit. When she's leading, they should also submit to her. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If I'm to close this, I want to say, since God sees you this way, how should you see yourself? How should you look at yourself? Are you still seeing yourself with the lens of culture or the world perspective? Is that how you still see yourself? You still see yourself from the point of, if a woman is not married, she's incomplete. If a woman is in a relationship, something is wrong with her. That's still a terrible person. Is that what the Bible said concerning you? If a woman is not married, that is culturally. But that's how I think. That's how I see it. If you want to marry, fine. God will give you a good husband. But it's not marriage that makes a woman. There's something that if I crush here now, you guys will say I'm in trouble. That's the problem. If a woman is not married, that's why some of you are crazy about entering a relationship. There are women in this place who have never been single in their life since they started dating. Because once they end this one, they're in a hurry to jump into another one because, can I be single? I look incomplete. That's why no woman is any man's better half. The Bible doesn't teach that. Say, I'm looking for my better half. Such an incomplete person. That's not like better half. So it is not marriage that gives you value. You are God's creation. God doesn't begin to see you differently when you marry. No. The same way I believe that every woman that wants to have children should have children and God will bless them with children. It is not having a child that makes you a woman. Did you hear what I'm talking about here now? It is not having a child. So when you say, what makes me sure that I'm a woman if I cannot have a child? Are you people okay? Are you people fine? It's not having a child that makes you complete before God. God sees you right. God sees you as one human in Christ. The great Pa Elton that did ministry in Nigeria has only one daughter, or had one daughter, who lived, he's still living in Nigeria today. I think she's up to 100 now. The ministry in Nigeria didn't get married. She just devoted her life to serving God in this country till now. And you will say she failed. You must change this thing. That's why you're not in a relationship. You are feeling inferior. Sister, nobody's asking, nobody's telling me, are you for sale? You see, you've allowed culture define yourself to you. If you want to enter a relationship, it's okay. You take your time, you pray. Because that's the problem, is because you have a different mindset about this whole thing. So when a guy comes, and just in a hurry, let me just say. And you, in fact, let me tell you, women look like the problem. You look like the reason why men see people that way. You enter a relationship, a man is beating you, talking to you, and how you are there. Because I can never leave this one now. The first day a man calls you an idiot, is there you should sit down and reconsider the relationship. I said so. You know what I said? The first day a man says, it's like you don't have sex, and says it seriously,
that you don't have sense. You know, fight used to start with handshake. The first day, because you should, I'm not saying you should be proud. I said just be yourself. Have healthy esteem. A man should know, I used to tell my wife, I'm blessed to have you. She also say, I'm blessed to have you. That's how it is. We are blessed to have each other. A man should not feel that he's doing you a favor because he has money. That's why a Yahoo boy thinks that all you have to do is to work hard, do Yahoo and make money, and any girl will follow you. And I told him, I said, not my girls. He said, I never come to our church. I said, come. Come. So are you sure there's nobody in this church that will follow? There may be somebody in this church that is just passing by this church. But like people have poured myself into it. You are mad now. Because you are what? I asked him, I said, how much do you even have? How much do you? People know, do you know what I mean? Have you seen money? I was watching Pastor Chris the other day, and he was talking very freely. He said, I like what you did the other time. I'm going to give you an extra $100,000. I like what you did too. With that, you are giving to the widows $100,000. I said, Jesus Christ. Just on the stage. I know we gave you 100,000 before. You did well. We're going to add another one now. Nah, not Naira. Run it. So, I asked the guy, have you ever seen money? Because you made small money, you stole small money, and you bought third hand Mercedes Benz. And the girls are just gushing. You got a problem. Give yourself some prestige. Don't let culture define you. Don't let the world define you. It's not a man that makes you anything. When you get married to a man, submit to him. But the man coming to make you feel that he's something. So, because he can buy shawarma. And I tell this to my girls. Let me say it to you openly now. You know, you didn't know. Sorry, we're streaming. It's everybody in the world. So, if you stay small like this, when they pay you, take money. Can buy shawarma. Buy pizza. You see all those things that men used to say they will buy for you. Can buy it and eat. All those places they say, I'm taking you to. Take yourself there. So that tomorrow when they say they're taking you there, your leg will not be shaking. I get what I'm saying. Two or three of you should gather money. Three friends. It's an instruction, a prophetic instruction. Take yourself to someone, just sit down there. Order this, order fish. That one they always tell you every evening, come, let me go and buy you fish. Buy fish. If you buy it, sit down, eat it. Don't let any boy come and tell you what's a beautiful girl like you doing sitting alone. She's sitting alone. Eat it. You're not eating it. You go. So that tomorrow. Because I don't even know what they are fighting for. Do you think those things are expensive? They are not expensive. I told the girl, if I take you out, you cannot finish 100,000. Is that their packing takeaway home?
I don't know what you guys are doing. Some of you say, it depends on who you are taking out.
Right? Tomorrow there's a bag that is raining and you like it, save money, buy it for yourself. When you buy it, do like other women. Just come on your status and say, I like the woman I'm becoming.
Because when we get back, when we buy things, I like the woman I'm becoming. It's okay, do it.
So that tomorrow nobody is going to come and dangle something before you. And let's even start with be content. Be content with who God has made you. I just showed you that in God's plan, He doesn't see you as a woman. He doesn't see you as a man. He sees you as His creation. As His son. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So do not yourself with from the lens of culture. I'll give you some instructions. Run your life with a vision. Be visionary. Deborah was. Where are you going to in life? Before you find a man, find your purpose. What does it mean to find a man to marry? It's just like you are traveling. The picture, and I'm going to be sharing this with the men this evening. The picture of marriage I see is somebody is driving a car, going to a certain place, and then you wave the person, or the person stops and say, join me. If you are going to join that person, there are two things. You must find out where the person is going to, and then you must know where you are going to. So if you don't know where you are going to, and the man doesn't know where he's going to, both of you should not be thinking of marriage. Some of you have not even found your direction in life, and you want to marry. You know what it's like? It's like you get to a junction, you don't know where you're going to, and a man, somebody says, enter, and you just get in. And what normally happens is, let me tell you why many early marriages crash. This is the reason. Because the man has carried you, you guys are driving towards Lagos. Halfway to Lagos, around Ore, you now realize yourself and find out that you should actually be going to maybe Abuja or even going to... Do you understand? So the question now is, here is a man headed to Lagos. Here is a woman headed to Abuja. All of them are in the same vehicle. So marriage begins to have issues. I get what I'm saying. That's why you should not marry a man that doesn't know where he's going to. And you must also know where you're going to. I'm not saying that both of you should have the same vision. If I want to be a banker, you must be a banker. No. But at least, what are you going to in life? What is your vision? Talk of ministry. What do you want to do for the Lord? You have made up your mind that you're going to sell out to the Lord, travel around the world, preaching the gospel if God calls you to do it. Here is a man who doesn't even care about that. You see, there are many... Why do you think you go to church? You find women that are very serious in church, but their husbands don't come to church. You know why? They got married. When they got married, the man wasn't serious. The woman wasn't serious. But along the line, the marriage, the woman discovered that she wants to be more for God. Now she begins to go to church, but the husband doesn't want to follow her. I've seen men too. I knew a man that is a pastor. Serious pastor. The wife doesn't even attend the church. He's a pastor. Because when they got married, they were not. He wasn't a pastor. It was another church. Somewhere he began to get church. We go to another church. The woman said, no, I'm not following you to that place. So he's a pastor. The wife goes to another church. And he's a pastor in a conservative setting. You know what I mean? All these settings where you don't wear trouser, you don't wear earring and all of that. But the wife drinks. She lives carelessly. So the man is wealthy. It's a heartbreak for the man. Very wealthy man, not just from pastoring. He's not from pastoring. He's a very wealthy guy. He's a businessman. It breaks his heart. Why wish he found that direction before he found a wife who would have married that woman? That's why get clarity about where you're going to. What do you want to be? Simple things. Now you don't even know whether you want to be a banker, a baker, or a tailor, or a fashion designer, or a cameraman. You're just everywhere. See, this one is you're just confused. So what do you want to do with your life? So you now marry a man tomorrow. And find out along the line that you want to be a model. And the man says, I don't want to marry a model. I don't think my wife, I can't allow my wife to model. I get what I'm talking about. Then he begins to cause trouble. He says, he's obstructing my dream. Why did you find out what your dream was? But because you are in a hurry, be visionary. Live your life. Let something other than blood be flowing in your bones. Let passion for your vision be flowing in your bones. In your body rather. Other than blood, let something be flowing. Be visionary. For instance, about ministry. Have a vision about ministry. How far do you want to go with the Lord? Even if you don't know everything that you're going to do in the future, you don't know everything because we cannot know everything. Vision unfolds in phases. You get the point? But at least have a picture of it. Have a picture of the kind of life you want to live. What is God saying to you? Have a picture. Be visionary. Amen. Commit to your all-round growth. I'm just giving some counsel as we close. Grow, not just because of your husband. Grow for yourself. Grow spiritually for yourself. Grow in character for yourself. When they correct you that you talk too much and you say you don't know how to talk, work on it. Not because you want to marry, because you're a believer. See yourself from God's standpoint. God never said we should grow spiritually so that we can marry. He said we should grow spiritually because we are believers. We are his children. And every father expects his children to grow. So commit to your growth. Commit to ministry. Then I'll say two more things to you before I leave you this morning. Please be courageous. A woman should not be timid. Because God did not create a timid person. Be courageous. If there is something you want to go for in life, go for it with courage. Believe that you can get it. Not because you're a woman. Not because you're a man. Not because what a man can do, a woman can do better. Because the problem with that statement is, once you make that statement, you know what it is? You are in the zone of comparison. And the Bible said, comparing themselves with themselves, they are not wise. I don't like that statement. Just like I tell you guys in this church, I don't say things like, we are going to be the biggest church in Enugu. That's a stupid statement. It means you are comparing. I can tell you are going to have a big church. But biggest, that EST means we are trying to compare ourselves to other churches and we are trying to compete. So I'm not saying be courageous so that I can meet up with the men. No. I'm not saying be courageous because what a man can do, a woman can do better. No. Be courageous. You are God's child. You have a calling in Christ Jesus. Be bold. Go forward. Let nobody tell you because you are young. Paul told Timothy, let no man despise your youth. And I'm saying to you, let no man despise you because you're a woman. Be courageous. And how did Paul tell Timothy? He said, let no man despise your youth. What is that situation that followed? He said, be thou an example. So how to let people not despise you because you're a woman is that you be an example. Don't be the cantankerous woman all over the place. Misbehaving. And when they shout at you, say, is it because I'm a woman? No, be an example. You don't want people to despise you because you are young. Be an example of a young person. That's the teaching I'm doing for the men on leadership. I'm going to continue this evening. Let me just hint you on it. Part of the things I'm telling them this evening is how to be followable as a man. You get the point? And one of the major things we are discussing is the exemplary. When I started ministry, not church, ministry, I didn't have money. Should I know? I was very broke. I was very thin. I've never gained the admission. Yes, people were following me. There is something that makes people follow you, whether you have money or not. One of them is your exemplar. You standing out in what you do. When it has to do with ministry, you know the word very well. You pray. When they say being judged by 4, you are there by 3:50. There is no reason or not much reason for them to stand up and start shouting at you. Why are you late? You not start picking up first. It's because I'm a woman. No. Once you're exemplary, you can be followed. Once you're a model, people can follow you. I get the point. Be exemplary. Attack life with courage. Joshua 1 verse 9. Be strong and of good courage. That's the same kind of courage we saw in Esther. That same kind of courage we saw in people like Ruth. Be stronger of courage. Be not afraid. See, if God is putting an idea in your heart to run a business, be courageous. Are you following what I'm saying now? Be courageous. Don't carry a mindset of competition. Let me compete with the men. You're not competing with anybody. Just do your thing for yourself. Someone following me today? Be courageous. And just like mom said a few minutes ago, be focused. Cut off distraction. The greatest undoing, that's why mom was doing that teaching. The greatest undoing of the female gender is distraction. That's why every women's conference, we must teach on focus. The greatest undoing of female gender is distraction. That's the greatest. Distracted by marriage, distracted by issues, distracted by life, distracted by depression, any small thing that happens, just throws you off course. Stay focused. Put your eyes on the goal. Things can happen on the left, right on the left, but keep your eyes on the goal. Let us not see you in church today, and 2 weeks after we not see you, you're not sure because why didn't you come? He says, sir, a lot happened within the last 2 weeks. Why should a lot happen and the lot that happened is able to take you off course? Keep your focus. A lot will keep happening. You are in a world of a lot. For keep your focus. Are you following the point? You gain admission, eyes on the goal. You are in school, still eyes on the goal. You finish school, eyes on the goal. No, God has called you to work for Him. Eyes on it. Focus on it. You get married, you have boyfriend, eyes on the goal. Some people just see them serious. Once they find their man in their life, they begin to misbehave. No, eyes on the prize, on the goal. Get married, same thing. Have children, same thing. So that you can look back at your life 40 years gone and you say, I've not left this thing I'm doing. I've focused on the Lord without distraction. Because the greatest thing about the woman of female gender is this distraction thing. Distraction thing. Any small thing can just take. And it's not just female gender, it's all over the place. But I'm saying female gender because I'm talking to you guys now. It's silly. It's really true, of course. A woman can be so focused on the Lord, trying to make her life work and all that, and then there's a new dress, a new trend that comes out, and she so wants that trend that she gets distracted. What she's thinking about is, how do I get this? I must get this group. I must get that problem. Easily distracted. You shouldn't be. So that 1 Corinthians 7:35, he said that he may attend to the Lord without distraction. That you may attend to the Lord without distraction. I'm just going to look at that. 1 Corinthians 7:35. That you may attend to the Lord. He said, I speak not this to condemn you. For I have said before, verse 35, 1 Corinthians 7:35. You guys should be very active this morning. 1 Corinthians 7:35. Not 2 Corinthians. Is that hard to find? And this I speak for your own profit. Not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without destruction. You mean like NLT and other translations? That's what we're closing today. He said, I'm saying this for your benefit, not to place decisions on you. I want you to do whatever you will help, that whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. Amplify Classic. Now I say this for your own wealth and profit, not to put a halter of restraint upon you, but to promote what is seemingly and in good order, and to secure your undistracted and undivided devotion to the Lord. Give me Message Bible. I'm trying to be helpful and make it easy as possible for you. I'm not making things harder. All I want is for you to be able to develop a way of life in which you can spend plenty of time together with the Master without a lot of distractions. I want you to get to this point where you serve the Lord. Now, things will be happening. Your career is there. There are things you want. I'm not saying you shouldn't go for them, but make sure you keep your eyes on the mark. Without distraction. Without distraction. Are you getting the point? See yourself the way the Lord sees you. Focused without distraction. We're not against you pursuing your life. We're not against you wearing good clothes. We're not against you even making up. In your picnic this evening, there will be a game around makeup. Abby, even now, Abby, we're not against you making. I actually want you to be able to make up. But you see, the thing about makeup too is about. See yourself from God's lens. Are you making up because you are ugly? I have to redesign your face to look fine. Are you making up to enhance your beauty? These are two different perspectives. There are some people that cannot leave their house without makeup. No matter how late we are, let me touch up my face. The problem is they feel that something is wrong with them. They are not fine. You know, there are some other people that don't make up because they still feel they're not fine. They feel makeup will not be fine on their face, so they're not going to do it. It's still an esteem issue. It's all following me today. So, make up if you have to. But no, let it not come the way it becomes a distraction. We are running late. He says, sir, let me touch up your face for 5 minutes. You now come into church looking like Silver Jubilee. I don't even know what that means. And you now came in late. Stay focused. Are you blessed this morning? Let's stand to our feet. Let's just say a word of prayer. Say me, say, I know who God says I am. Say, I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God said I can do. Say, I'm the man in Christ. So say, sir, let's say I'm the woman in Christ. You are the, say, I'm the man in Christ. Man now is talking about that Adam I showed you, the mankind, not gender. Say, I'm the man in Christ. Say, in Christ Jesus, I can be anything I want to be. No, scratch that. That's not even a good confession to make. I can be anything God wants me to be. You know, there are confessions that I will make that look like they're spiritual, but they're not. Say, you can be anything you want to be. That's not actually what you tell. For if you have, once you have kids, stop telling your children they can be anything they want to be. That's very good. Tell them they can be anything that God wants them to be. That they will live their life looking for what God wants them to be, not for anything they want to be. So when you say, you can be anything you want to be, it looks like a serious a Christian symbol. It's not. It's actually a motivational jargon that is not correct scripturally. Say, I can be anything that God wants me to be. I can get to any height that God wants me to get to. So I know who I am. I am the man in Christ. And I will live my life with that consciousness. Are you blessed? Lift your hand, just pray the Holy Ghost wherever you are.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.